We move today to Masechet Olot, Perek Yud is where we're up to, Mishnah Zayin. Okay, so we spoke about the idea of good achit and good asik when we were talking about a container that was made out of cheres, and we had this incredible chiddush in the previous Mishnah in which we will actually virtually move the position of something that's in an atrium, and we can move it either down or up. Again, virtually, such that it becomes part of the covering of the atrium and prevents the continuation of Tumah through it. It closes up the roof with all of the implications. Now, we want to continue that, but in this case, we're talking about a different movement. Basically, what we have to imagine over here is a door of entry to a home, which has, of course, a lintel on it, a mashkof, and it has a little porch in front of the door. Some of that porch is open to the sky, and some of the porch continues on underneath the lintel of the door. So what we have over here is, a cheres container, and as we talked about before, we've got a container that's wide on the bottom, becomes narrow towards the top, and we're going to position it in different places along the porch or under the lintel. So in this case, we've got the pot between the section that's open. It's on the porch part, open to the sky. Part of it is inside of the doorway. The part that's inside under the lintel is going to be considered to be part of the ohel of the bayit. The other part that's exposed to the sky certainly does not have an ohel over it. And because of that is going to be tumah ritzutza, which is going to be continuously going ad l'rakia, and nothing is going to stop it. So now let's discuss the first case, which was the case in every one of the Mishnayos where we had moved things around. We're talking about that it's on the ground, and it is not a tefach above the floor, which causes other issues, which we'll get to that case like we always do in all of the cases in a moment. So now, if the same pot that we were talking about yesterday, maybe it was last week or last month, but anyway, the last time that we learned this, we were talking about the pot that we were going to move up directly into the roof opening above the atrium, right? Over here, it's netuna betzada iskufa. So it's on the threshold, it's on the porch. And now, if we were to virtually raise it, okay, let us virtually raise it. What does it hit? Well, if we raise it virtually, we find that it's nogat b'mashkof poteach tefach. It would be extending under the door for a full length of a tefach and would smash into the actual mashkof of the door. So then the halacha is that if you have tumah that is positioned anywhere, I don't care where it is, the tumah, you could have a kezias of a mace, and it's outside of the house, remember, and that's what's important. And whether it's underneath, inside, on top of the part of the pot that is not under the actual mashkof, then the din is radiation of tumah is called bokat v'ola, bokat v'yoredet. Radiation travels in a straight line, and therefore nothing is going to be tame except what is in its actual pathway. So whatever it's in its pathway is going to become tame, and that would include anything in the pot, because in its pathway, whether it was above the pot or under the pot, in its pathway is the pot, and therefore the, being as it's a kli cheres, the inside of the pot is going to become tame, and anything in the pot therefore will be tame. But nothing in the house is going to become tame, because there's no way to transfer this tumah into the ohel, which is the bayit. Now, suppose, and this is what we always did, every single one of these Mishnayos, we've had 18 Mishnahs like this already, right? If it was raised one tefach above of the ground on the porch. So then, if there's tumah that is underneath it, or there's tumah inside of the house, now we understand why it was important for us to discuss the issue of whether there's an overlap of a tefach if we would virtually raise it. In the first case in the Mishnah, obviously, it's completely irrelevant whether there's an overlap or not, because the tumah's mace was situated underneath the open sky and was not in any area that was underneath the threshold. So there, it was irrelevant. The reason we stipulated in the Mishnah that we're talking about an overlapping virtual raising of this, that it's a full tefach into the mashkof area, is now understandable. Because if it's a tefach, which means that there's a ohel of a tefach underneath the pot, so then if tumah is underneath the pot, or tumah is in the house, this is considered to be one large ohel because of the overlap. So therefore, if the tumah would be in that little space of a tefach that's underneath the pot, it will spread along the bottom of the pot, which remembers mevi as a tumah, and then it is also underneath a tefach of the lintel of the door. Once it's in the tefach of a lintel of the door, it spreads through the entire house. Now, this is nutty. The reason that it's nutty is because every single case that we've had until now allows tumah to spread without needing an overlap. Whoever heard of an overlap? As long as you've got an opening of a tefach, we had all the cases of kaveret that we had before. If you've got an opening of a tefach and it's open into that area, I don't give a hang if it's just an open window. So the idea over there was the moment that you've got the tumas mace in the, that is slightly underneath the windowsill, the entire house is going to become tame if the window has an opening of a tefach. Now, whoever heard of an overlap? Where did that happen? So what we have over here is actually a new idea. The new idea is that when you're creating a ohel from the bottom of a pot, which is a kli and not a true ohel, the fact that that tefach is open, remember, it's raised the tefach, I'm not talking about the width of a tefach now, the fact that that raised tefach is open to the grand wide outdoors means that we view the direction of the tumah as out and not extending into the house. The idea of being able to move this tumah into the house and see it as an extension of the ohel, which is the house, is only where there is a tefach overlap. This is a halacha we've never seen before, a concept like that, and this is brand new, which we'll get to as we continue. So therefore, since it extends a tefach in our virtual when we lifted it, it hit a tefach, it's now metame the entire thing, and it's considered to be one big ohel. So whether the tumah is in the house or whether the tumah is under the kli, it's anything that is there is going to be tame. And the only case would be tocha, anything that's inside the pot, or anything that is above the pot, is not going to be tame. Now, why? A pot is incapable of being chotzeitz bifnei hatuma, right? Ah, right. But you forgot about the virtual din of good asik. Good asik means that since we virtually are able to raise this pot, so that now it becomes attached to the mashkof of the door. What's the din of a pot that's attached to the mashkof of a door? It's no longer considered to be a pot. It's chotzitz bifnei hatuma and becomes part of the building. So here we find again, good asik makes it part of the actual binyan, and therefore it's a typical binyan ohel. And therefore, even though the area under the pot is tameh, the tumah cannot get into the pot. And therefore, anything that is above that is, whether it's in the pot or above the pot, is not going to be radiated by the tumah. Now, if we take the case where we, instead of being under the pot, we put the kezayis min hamet inside the pot or above the pot so that it can radiate downward into the pot, then everything becomes tameh, whether it's underneath, inside, or above, or in the house. Why? Because since a kezayis min hamet above a pot makes a pot of cheres tameh, right? It's a mekabel tumah from the inside. So now when it radiates down, hits the pot is now a kli tameh. Remember that the rule is a kli, not which can be mekabel tumah, but which is actually tameh, can never be mechotzeitz bifnei hatumah, even if it's part of a building. And therefore, it cannot stop the tumah, and the tumah goes straight through the bottom of the pot, spreads into the ohel under the pot, and since that ohel is considered to be one with the house because of the tefach overlap, pow, the entire house now becomes tameh. So this is where you do have an overlap. How about where you don't have an overlap? Let's talk about a case, she'im tala eina nogat b'mashkov poteach tefach. It would. Maybe it would even hit the lintel, but it wouldn't hit the lintel for a full tefach long, or even for that matter, it doesn't even get under the lintel. Maybe it just comes up right up against the side. So it's midubeket b'mashkof. It's stuck, again, virtually, stuck to the mashkof. Then the halacha is that if there's tuma under the pot, only the area under the pot becomes tameh. Everything in the house remains tahar, because in this case we view the two ohalim as being separate ohalim, because they are not, they don't have that overlap, and therefore they are considered to be separate. Okay, remember that we talked about separateness perhaps requiring a certain distance of chut hamashkolet. That, Bezrat Hashem, we will be talking about tomorrow.